Right, welcome everybody to the August 7th meeting of the Configuration Persistency Service Team meeting. So we're going to start the meeting. We have a new member with us, Rishi. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi team, this is Rishi. I've been working with Ericsson for about 4 years now, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Great. And I assume you're in sort of in the same team as Toyn and Tony in the same location?
Yeah. It's the same.
Okay, great. Well, welcome on board.
Thank you.
And I assume they'll kind of help you get to places, but this is our main project page here. And from here, you can kind of get to everywhere else related to CNPS. So you can kind of root around here. It can be hard to navigate all the pages, but I think we've put a lot of useful links here. I'll add you to the committers here. All right.
I think you have a separate table of contributors, Ben, or myself.
There's committers and contributors. I mean, we can set them as a committer. That makes sense.
It's actually a bit of an issue we still have, but
we can always move it back. If you want to work them down to contributor, that's fine too. Is it just rishi.chale at Ericsson? Is that right?
It's est.tech.
Oh, est, okay.
Dot tech, yeah.
Dot tech, okay. And what's your time zone? Is it UTC plus one?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. And you know, feel free to edit or change that if you need to. All right. So we are going to start off with where we left off last time, talking about the CNPS modeling. But before we start that, I think let's ask to see if. There are other major agenda items we need to add. I think there was one from the modeling discussion we had from the 5G service modeling use case. Any other major items people want to add?
No, not at the moment.
Okay. So Jacqueline, did you have slides or anything you wanted to share, or did you want to?
I was sort of thinking of running through the slides that I had brought to the resource information model group.
Sure.
And I think most of you are will be familiar with some of the material there, and that pretty much sets the context of the proposal that we have right now for augmenting the common information model to start to bring in some of the concepts that the CPS model-driven POC needs. So just to say that, I mean, that's the context of this. Probably it's this group really that should be generating the proposal to the information model. I sort of got a bit of a jump start on that, I think, because I did get in contact with Tony after the face-to-face, and we sort of walked through it a little bit, so I got a bit inspired, but I realized that at this point that maybe that was a bit of a step ahead of what you guys were doing, or maybe a bit of a side branch. So I think one of the reasons I want to bring this up is that I think we need input in the information model from you guys, from this group, to actually have an information model proposal that works. So Let me run through this. Do you see my presentation now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did for the resource information model group was to recap some of the DDF material, and this is stuff that I think, Ben, you've got later versions of this, and I'm quite sure that you worked on some of this material.
Yeah.
Here, of course, what we were talking about is heterogeneous networks, where we do have multiple vendors providing equipment and various types of XNFs, a single ONAP platform then serving several telecom networks. And I think the important part here was, of course, this last part at the bottom about ONAP applications and use cases competing for access to the same CM data. And this is one of the big drivers, as I understand it, for the CMPS database, that there needs to be an availability of CM data that's right up from the XNFs and is made available in various ways. And here I'm talking a bit about Yang, which is the modeling language that's native, you could say, to NetConf. That's actually the specification for that is an IETF RFC. There is an RFC for version 1.0 and an RFC for version 1.1. I'm not sure now if how far they've gotten, if there is a 1.2 at this point or not. But there is a big industry momentum towards Yang modeling. Yang, in a lot of ways, is a superset of most of the modeling language capabilities. And so the proposal, as I understand it, is that Yang become the primary input and the native language of the configuration persistency service, such that other languages, other modeling languages, would need to be translated before being deployed. And that's because of this richness of the Yang language and the fact that it's very well standardized. Now this pictures a little bit how the information model work goes on right now. And I mean, there's a certain complexity in this process. Here we are, you know, there's vendors that we have our XNFs that we're working on, there are various standards out in the world. And we use those as input, both of these, into models that are proposed for being included in the ONAP platform. And the ONAP ModCom, the modeling subcommittee, then has an approval process to bring those into the ONAP platform. And then there's some design work to support that model in ONAP's data model. So that's several steps. And then on the other side, in terms of the vendor, of course, when we're designing our XNFs, we produce a vendor package for onboarding, and that then also contains models. Then when it comes to actually using these, well, if it's a model that's designed into the ONAP platform, you have this deployment through OOM. And then the operator, of course, has to take these through SDC. That's the onboarding process. And all of this has to be in place before an ONAP application, let's say an application running on ONAP as a platform, can actually start to use any of this data.
Hey, Jacqueline, just real quick, you used the term ONAP data model, meaning singular, as in ONAP information model, singular. Did you mean data model or information model in the singular sense?
I actually meant both in the plural, and you're right to call me out on that, because the information model, we say information model, but there's several pieces to that. There's resource, there's common, there's service, and data model definitely should be in the plural, data models.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, yes. Got it. All right. Yes. There's a lot of confusion around a unified data model, which can't obviously exist.
No, and that is actually part of the problem, because again, this ONAP design part means that there are various parts of the ONAP architecture that actually may need to update their data models.
Correct.
To bring in the impacts of a new information model to make that usable.
Right. And also there's the question about the ongoing work within, I guess it's OpenConfig, and how that dovetails into this. I mean, obviously we have to have some kind of a translation ability if you think that work is even worthwhile, right? It seems to me that there is some interest in there, there's some momentum there, but how do we integrate all those dispersed, diverse, disconnected models into this information model? Let me be very specific. How do we take those OpenConfig to diverse, disorganized data models and unify them into a common format that is compatible with the information models? I should say, I still think, even though the information model has many components, there's still singular components, and I aggregate those into one information model versus data models, which cannot be harmonized outside of a domain. Maybe you can do it for a given domain, but not for multiple domains, because they're just too different.
No, that's true. And I think the ambition anyways, is even if the information model is divided into parts, I would agree that the idea should be that a particular piece of information shows up in the information model once, and then each of the various data models then integrates that where needed in its own way.
Right.
Okay. And it is actually a key point. And it is part of the complexity of this, because I don't think that we at this moment have the sort of alignment between data models, either between them or towards the information model.
Right.
That would simplify this.
Not to mention there are other STOs who have their own information model.
Yes, exactly. And even though we're using standards as some sort of input to the ONAP platform information model,
right.
There are competing standards. We sort of try to do best of breed or most right. suited, but there's always going to be standards that fall outside of that box in one way or another, either by being simpler, though that's rare, or being more complex and supporting more than we want to.
Right.
So there's a lot of complexities here that happen and that are part of this machinery of dealing with the models that are part of the platform. And this will, of course, always be needed, because there are certain things, there are certain concepts that are needed within the platform and that need to be used by several components within ONAP.
And I think that's what differentiates the approach here, is that we're integrating everything into a platform that people are building towards. And then that could be what will prevail ultimately. But I still wanted to get your thoughts on what a long-term integration is picture would be for those data modeling efforts to be harmonized within the platform. And I'm not sure if this working group could even help that part of it, but it's certainly something that is going to require some homework.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It could be that by allowing more things to be model driven, that we actually that we shift some of the weight burden, where we might be able to reduce the size of the model and the model handling within the platform, and that would give us more time and more clarity to be able to actually do some of the alignment work, sort of offloading to be able to take only the most important points within the platform. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. I need to start getting to those meetings again. It's been a long time since I was there. Anyway, I don't want to hold up your presentation. Please get
no
back
worries.
On target.
No, I think this is actually a very good discussion, because it actually leads into this picture, which
okay.
is what this model-driven POC is interested in trying to try out and see if this is as simple as it looks. Because in theory, it should be possible to say that, well, for a vendor of an XNF, they have their vendor package. That vendor package contains their Yang models, possibly some other type of data model that is possible to translate to Yang, but we're assuming right now Yang models. that then the operator or service provider receives that package with the product. They do their onboarding. That's going into SDC, of course. And then, I mean, there's a lot of things that are missing on this picture. And this relies on this idea that there is an application here, a microservice or something, built on top of ONAP, running within ONAP, let's say, that can pick up these Yang modules and use them without needing to ask ONAP as a platform for anything more than just to have access to the right models. So hi, it becomes a bit of a... Yes, hi.
Hi, so yeah, it's Tony here for... Tony's on the holidays at the moment. I think, and I don't know if you've seen Tony's presentation, he's been working on the different flows and his different proposals. It's on one of our pages that we have in the design. He's proposed several flows, several options for that detail this basically. So I just want to say that's stuff that Tony definitely has been working on.
That's great. I haven't talked to Tony. I haven't synced with him in quite a while. And
I can look at the page now. I'll send you the link in the chat anyway. In the meantime, continue your presentation.
Ah, but that's great actually, because I know that, I mean, these slides are now a month and a half old at least. And I know Tony's been quite active, and I think the whole group has been quite active in discussing these things. So this was just a sort of way of to say to the modeling group, which probably is not as concerned about the details of the flows, but more the principle here that here there should be an easier way for an application to just pull up some sort of model in a more generic fashion from the platform and deal with that. But you said you put the link in the chat. That would be...
Yeah, I just have it here now. Yep. So okay. I'm just going to copy it now.
Perfect. Because I do think that this is exactly the part that needs to be fleshed out for the POC, and it's good that you mentioned that. I won't pull that up because I think I'm actually...
No, it's fine. It's just for sharing for people to look at it later. Good. Yeah.
It's good for my own education as well, because like I said, I'm coming from the modeling side, not so much from the from this group. So I'll have to take a look through that and talk to Tony when he gets back. I'm going to try to attend some of these meetings so that I'm a little more up to date. So this is sort of what was presented as proof points at the DDF for the base scope of the POC, and this idea of demonstrating create and read operations using Yang fragments against the CPS with a very simple schema or a schemaless repository, deploying and upgrading Yang fragments at runtime, etc. And here again, I think this group is more aware of this than I am of what's been done in that respect. This was the picture that inspired me a little bit, because this was sort of a preliminary sketch, at least, of how this could actually work. And a lot of these things here are more conceptual. I mean, you have Yang, which is the language that we're talking about being a sort of native language for this concept, a Yang parser and a model mapper in Java, some form of document that's a language capability map that depends on a generic schema model, which is then allowing you to deploy those language capabilities into a database. But it's actually this bottom left corner that I looked at, because here, these two objects, the XNF schema model and the XNF data instance model, this, to me, these are the concepts that from an ONAP platform information model, these are the concepts which I think we're going to need to somehow bring in, because the rest of this, I mean, Yang as a language is just a fact. I mean, I don't think we're going to model languages in the ONAP information model. A lot of this is architectural or based on how we in practice want to implement certain things. That's also not something that we put into the ONAP information model. There's no deployment model in that sense in the information model. It's more got to do with information flows, whereas being able to identify a particular schema model that's been deployed and based on the onboarding of an XNF, and then being able to connect the data associated with that model to it. This is what I, like I say, thought was maybe the essence of this. So that was the idea that I presented into the to the resource information model group. And this I'm actually going to show, instead of this, I'll show you, because that was sort of a, there was a preliminary diagram that I did, and this is actually the one that I ended up bringing to resource information model. As you can see, this is actually a page on the common information model part of the wiki. The presentation that I've been showing is here. And this is what I came up with. And it's not, maybe I can make that a little big here. The idea here was that, the idea here was to take one of the existing information model diagrams, which is called root. And you see that here, up here, you have something called a root entity, which was sort of an attempt to say, what should anything in this information model actually share in terms of properties? So a name, a description, and an ID. And everything pretty much derives from that. As you can see, that's sort of our top element. And then you have a number of other things that are deriving from it. And then we have two large categories here, which are design entity, which is typically entities that you'd manage through SDC, and operational entities, which are, of course, runtime entities. So instances of data. And a lot of these.
Where would configuration fit into this picture? Configuration information? Would it be in both?
That's sort of the question, because what I've added to the original root diagram are these two things. There's an application model here out to the left, and an application data instance out to the right. The idea being that the actual configuration data is operational. It's something that you're actually fetching from an XNF. At some point in its during its management by ONAP. And these are conceptual right now. This is just a very
I get it, but we've had this kind of an internal discussion before, and we said there's two camps, right? There's the static parameters that maybe have to do with the startup config and getting it up and running in its base state, and then there are parameters that are related to networking, connectivity, and scaling and optimization of performance type of parameters, which are variable, can be controlled by a machine learning or manual or orchestration or some combination of those manipulators, right, or influencers. But ultimately, we need to be able to very tightly couple to what those configuration states are and say things like, well, you know, if something is significant and it changes, we need to know about it right away. And that gets broadcasted, right, to a monitoring agency, which, again, could be an orchestrator or a SPOG that then gets correlated to performance and fault data, for example, right? So that's a key part of the value prop of our group, but at the same time, we've got to fit into this framework, right, that we're providing. So we have a lot of tenets for, you know, what this configuration looks like, but at the same time, we've never done this mapping to the information model.
Yeah, and I think this is exactly why it's good to start this discussion, because this root model, especially this division into design entity and operational entity, this is heavily inspired by etc/NFV, right?
Right.
Because you have I mean, this is where it started from, was that all of the descriptors ended up here on the left side as design entities, and all of the instance data ended up on the right side as operational entities. And you're correct in saying that there may be sort of day zero configurations that maybe can be considered as descriptors, but we would have to discuss if that's what we're talking about then, if it's
let's not be weighed by the anchor of what we defined years ago in Etsy as a descriptor. It's a parameter that describes some configuration on two levels, either the actual network function or the service that is composed of a chain of those network functions. And I don't think we need to even use the term descriptor, right? We have a service related configuration. We have resource related configuration. We have application related configuration, and these may or may not be overlapping, but they certainly have different contexts, right? I mean, how a neighbor list is set up will affect how your service is being delivered, all right? So it's not something that we don't want to tie to a static entity that gets used once to spin something up, right? So maybe the descriptor term is a little unfortunate if we're using that, right? I would say description, but I don't want to mess with your model, right?
So the only new thing here that you're adding to the existing IAM is the application model and application data instance, right? And I assume that they don't overlap conceptually with any of the other inherited things off of design entity and operational entity. So they're just within their own encapsulated space, they're capturing application type information. Is that the intent, right? I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, I think just to sort of comment on both of Fred and Ben, what you're saying, I mean, my intention here was to start a discussion, and since design entity and operational entity exist as categories, I was trying to fit these into here. But I would agree that, for example, some of these things, I think the application model is significantly different from a descriptor, because again, it's a data schema. It's modeling how data can look, whereas a descriptor, in the sense, I mean, we have a schema for a descriptor. It's from the Etsy specs. We know exactly how it looks, and that's describing other things about an XNF than an application model would. So I don't see any overlap conceptually here. One of the next questions, because this was just a very initial sketch, would be, what do we need? How do we need to fill this application model with useful information? Because presumably we need to have something like what we're inheriting from the root entity,
right?
An ID, a name, a description. By inheriting from design entity, you get a couple of other things here. This valid foreign status, I don't know if those are useful or not. That's one question. And what do we need after that point? I mean, as I said, probably an application model could be Yang, but it could also be something else. So
maybe what we need to clarify is what we mean by the application model, right? I keep it things simple, right? There's a service and there are network functions, and they're connected together. Now we're introducing a new term called application. Is this layer 4 through 7 what the user sees? Is this the network function? What actually is the application you're referring to here?
And that is the interesting question there. Now, I'm saying level 4 through 7 is part of the truth, but let me switch back to the PowerPoint here. I mean, the idea is that there is a distinction between the models, even layer 4 to 7, where we need to build in some knowledge in the platform. I mean, we know that.
But I don't see that here at all. What I just see here really is the notion of fitting in of the context of a network function and a service. I don't see anything here that, in my view, from what I've seen in these discussions in these different ONAP working groups about layer 4 through 7 application being configured here, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, but again,
so he says ONAP app. What is ONAP app? It's not the layer 4 through 7, right? It's the service level function that is being referred to, or maybe one of the working groups. I guess that's what we need to nail down.
I see the ONAP app as sort of the northbound interface, you know, GUIs that
you
can ONAP to. Yeah.
Yeah,
which is layer 7 essentially, you know, which is essentially the OSI model layer 7. And I mean, Fred makes a good point. I think I kind of see that the OSI, you know, layer 4 through 7 stuff is, and that's kind of why I asked my question, because I think some of that stuff conceptually could also be, if we look at the root model, is also kind of in the resource descriptor too. There seems to be sort of maybe a conceptual overlap between the two. So, you know, we have a box. We have let's just think of a PNF right now. That PNF has a bunch of stuff that describes it, whether they're parameters or descriptors. And to Fred's point, basically, you know, there's an application that sits on top of that PNF. There's software that runs on top of that PNF, and that application software needs essentially some data, some configuration stuff to be parameters to be configured. So in my mind, there's sort of the application model doesn't necessarily sit completely independent of that resource model. It's sort of
I agree.
Part of that. It's a different dimension of it, really.
Yes, I agree.
The question is the specificity on what those dimensions are those two different contexts is not clear yet. Right?
Agreed. Yeah. Well, I think that's why we're having this discussion. I think we just try to get that clarity.
Yeah, no, I think it's high time we start working with this team from the information model. It really...
You know, I would love to have the help, because I think when I presented this to the resource information model, the basic reaction was, yeah, that's sort of interesting. None of us really understand what you're getting at here.
Can I share an observation here? This happens mm-hmm. all the time in standard, even in Etsy. What we need to nail these abstract discussions down is to specific use cases and a POC, right? And I know you're doing that, but until we nail down the context for what we mean by application, how will we be able to model it, right? So it's like a top-down and a bottom-up approach has to take place at the same time for people to get interested and follow and contribute. Absolutely.
I think, you know, I think the approach here in the slides of sort of saying there is a difference between this process and this process, you're right that deciding the decision point of what model needs to go the hard way, let's say, and which we think that the platform doesn't care about and can just sort of be passed through and handled transparently.
Right.
I think that was more the concept that application in this case, and maybe application then is not a very good term, because here we're talking about models that don't need to be processed by the platform, but can be handled in a purely model-driven way. I'm going to make a totally bizarre analogy. Let's say you would have a connected toaster that ONAP was managing for some reason that we don't understand, but you know, you have a service provider that has a connected toaster service. ONAP as a platform probably doesn't care about the user setting for how brown his toast is. That's an application level thing, right? At some point here, there's an application that wants to store data about how a particular house wants to have their toast, what level of brownness.
But it's still a configuration parameter for specific to that application that somehow has some connections to the network as a resource level to support it, right? But now you're very specific. You're talking about a user application, not a network function that's used to deliver that user application. I mean, that has to be clear, right? Otherwise, and quite frankly, I don't know that it's any of ONAP's business to worry about how the application gets configured. That's something that's internal to the application that has to be abstracted. But when you start talking about network functions, that's a different story because those have to be managed, right? Everything that the carrier should be, that ONAP should be interested to in is what the carrier has to manage. The carrier has to manage the services, the resources that go into the configuration of that, supporting the configuration required by that application.
Absolutely. And that is sort of the question of where the line goes of how much of the network function does ONAP explicitly need to manage, or are there certain aspects, even on a network function, where ONAP is not actively involved as a platform, but possibly a microservice using the ONAP platform instead wants to have access to the right information and access to the models for that information. And that, I think, is where this whole idea came in, was that if we can distinguish, if we have a way of distinguishing exactly what you're talking about, that this sort of models where we don't need ONAP as a platform to be actively involved, but is only serving up to a microservice these sort of aspects. So a schema model that could be anything, and a place to store the data associated with that model. And of course, you're right that one thing that is missing, which is obviously missing from this sketch, and this is actually where I want to take the discussion, is we have these network functions. How is this related to these or any of these? Presumably, there is a relation because, as I've said, I mean, these application models in a normal case would be something coming in at onboarding. So you would have some sort of descriptor context. How is that related? And what is the breakdown of information here?
Application is strictly from something that the user is going to be seeing, that's software that's running on the network, we need to understand what are its requirements from an SLA perspective, and what is its resource consumption model look like, right? Because for the application to meet an SLA, we have to give it enough bandwidth or enough processing power from the network to support that application. If that's truly what you mean by application, I just want to make sure that, you know, people, when they talk about network functions, they talk about it being an application. So we need to be very clear on what we mean by that. I know we've beat that horse to death on this call a few times, but you're going to run into a lot of confusion unless you have more specificity, like if you say user application or something like that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is the thing. I think one of the questions about this POC is, I think it addresses a little bit the architecture of ONAP in general. I mean, what can we run as services or microservices that can use ONAP as a platform? Do we within ONAP need to specify, I mean, how much do we have to specify about one of these applications to be able to, as you say, satisfy all of its requirements? Because this is not, as you say, a network function. This is some possibly end user application. It could also be a service provider application. I mean, it's not so obvious what this is. I think the idea was that this could be something generic that we assume doesn't need to have a tightly coupled link to the rest of the platform. But this is where I need Tony here, because I know he has some very succinct ideas about what this sort of thing could be. I do agree that for the POC, we need to define that. And that sort of definition is probably needed to interpret this word application model. Now, bottom up, this is easy, right? I mean, I think bottom up, we're saying there's a Yang model, we need something to hang it off of. We need to be able to, within ONAP as a platform, like I say, allow space for a model that we don't want to open up and look into to be cataloged, accessible, and then to have data based on that to be stored. That's the general principle of the POC, but I agree that top down, the terminology is weak. And exactly how it fits into these categories is also a bit weak. I think that this is a really excellent discussion.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's even the right thing to have focus on, you know, given the context of at least what this group is trying to manage, which is up-to-date information on configuration information that is in the network, either at the function or networking level, right? That has to be managed, that we can manage through orchestration, right? That's really what it amounts to. I mean, if you go to any descriptor today, right? It's basically a static snapshot of what a network function parameters are that need to for it to be run and instantiated and need to be maintained over a life cycle. And so some parameters change, some parameters don't. Same way for the networking, right? If you scale something from 1 to 2, now you've got 2 branches, maybe a load balancer shows up in between, right? Or not, right? And then all these have their own configuration parameters. How do all these little lights, right? Some which are blinking, we're changing, some which are always on, static. How do we get an up-to-date picture of that and then map that into this model that you have here and put in what's missing?
The thing is, and this is where I'm not sure that I totally agree. I mean, you're talking about data that, for example, the orchestrator needs, or data that, again, that some
or service assurance, right? You might be able to correlate a fault or a performance problem to a configuration, right? So is that orchestration? Is that service assurance? I mean, is it DCAE? Is it the SORO? It's all the above, right?
But you're, again, looking at the use cases within the platform. And then I would suspect that all you're talking about is still stuff that's in this picture. You're talking about things that something somewhere in the platform is actually interested in. Mm-hmm. And that to be able to access that some part of the platform actually has to have logic that addresses that. And right. I do agree that that's one use of I mean, that's what a configuration database is mainly for. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
But here we're opening for this as well, a very generic use case where we say, you know what, right now we've judged that there's actually nothing in ONAP that's really interested in this particular part of the northbound interface of a particular XNF.
Could you point with your mouse to what you're talking about at any given instance? Because I'm getting lost.
Well, okay. Again, if there's none of, well, I'm trying to, I don't know if my mouse is.
You can put on laser pointer too if you right click.
Yeah, I think it's more a question of delay. I think my coverage is sucky today. But I mean, to be honest, I'm not pointing it very much here because I think the use cases where we have something in the platform and we have to store some data that the platform is accessing is definitely a use case. But here, in this case, I mean, here there is nothing here. There's nothing down here that's interested at all. It's just, okay, we know that in this vendor package, there's a whole pile of models, Yang models, and
configuration information.
and configuration information, absolutely, okay. Because you probably have some initial configuration for that.
Yes.
And to be honest, even a Yang model in itself sure. does contain some sort of default yeah. setup.
Right. Now,
and this is the question. I mean, for example, does ONAP necessarily need to know everything about the Yang model that gives a, maybe not a day zero configuration, but let's say a day one configuration? Or are there certain aspects that somebody with that's either a software developer that has done some interesting intelligent application, or an end user, or you know somebody sitting at a GUI or a CLI, can fill in and push into that netconf file, which will then just get spit out into the PNF without ONAP really caring about large chunks of that configuration. That's really
okay. Let's break it into two. So anything that you're pointing to initially that goes into the lifecycle management day one, day two, day end, yeah, that has to be there in the model. Otherwise, how are we going to orchestrate it, right? How are we going to instantiate it in a uniform vendor neutral manner? Now, as far as what an
Now you said a key word. You said vendor neutral because, yes, the ONAP platform is concerned about getting the XNFs up and running, taking into consideration all the things that any, and I'm saying XNF, but let's say that any VNF or any PNF, because they have different needs, would have a need for. But
well, that's what I mean by vendor neutral, is a framework mm-hmm. where they can plug in their information and it's ingested and understood.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not get hung up on the term vendor neutral. Maybe that wasn't the best term,
well, no,
right?
But actually, the reason why I'm triggering on that is because, of course, there are going to be vendor models that a vendor or a third party might want to use for some purpose in some microservice.
Well, I didn't get to that one yet. I didn't get to that one yet. All right, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying, is that here we're assuming that this flow is complicated because we want to make sure that there is alignment, that there are vendor neutral capabilities here, and that any VNF or PNF can be handled by the ONAP platform and get it up and running. Whereas this assumes that there are certain things which aren't necessarily vendor neutral or that might be possible to handle specifically for a specific type of VNF or PNF for use cases that we can't imagine in ONAP because it's not involving our stuff. It's involving this other thing out here.
Okay, let's talk about the other thing out here. So I think we agreed that we need the information for lifecycle management of the at the resource and the service level going up to that point. Now, assuming that it's instantiated and that there are resources, now there's a developer, this user ONAP app, that has an application, it's going to have requirements on the network, right? But those have to be abstracted, right, from that app. The app should not have to specify, I need you to connect this VNF to this PNF to this CNF to give me the certain. No, it has to say, you know, it has certain CPU memory load and maybe the a library of services that needed to be called by that app, and that's it, right? It's up to the orchestrator to manage the resources that are needed for supporting that app. All that has to be abstracted from the app developer's perspective. Now, if on the other hand you say, well, this ONAP app that I'm talking about is a private LTE network or a private 5G network, and that's a different story, but that puts you back in the original camp of instantiation and resource management. So I think, again, we need to nail down what we mean by ONAP app and create the abstractions needed so the developers don't have to be network engineers to write their apps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you start talking about abstraction, I think you've actually got the key there, because the point is exactly as you state, that this application up in the corner here should also, I mean, it should be written by someone that's familiar with what this vendor has done or what's in this vendor package, but not necessarily somebody that's, it shouldn't be necessary for the person writing this to know about orchestration and the details of.
And maybe even the vendor package. I don't even know why they have to even know what the vendor package is. They have to know some aspects of the service that are being offered by the package and that they need, you know, bandwidth, latency, whatever, compute, storage, and that's it.
I think, you know, I think we're going to have some discussions around, because I know this was, these are some of the things that Tony was sort of looking at as things, use cases, microservices running that use ONAP as a platform. But I don't necessarily see here a clear distinction or way of describing, and I'm just going to flip back, what that yellow box in the corner is supposed to consist.
Everything that you just showed should be abstracted from that. Everything I just saw there is none of the business of the application developer.
Presumably.
They assume it's there and it's transparent to them.
Sorry, guys, you might have interrupted for a second because I can see what you're trying to discuss and trying to clarify. I'm just wondering about the practical aspect of the difference. And Jacqueline, you said something a little while ago about it affecting the POC. And this is a bit I don't understand, because if the application is truly model-driven, then every model is available for what we're developing, and all the data can be manipulated and controlled using the model. So whether it's data that's only applicable to this little application that doesn't know much about and it doesn't care about the infrastructure or other things, it doesn't matter from an application. Sorry, that's the wrong word to use. For what we're developing, it doesn't actually matter what kind of data it is. As far as we're concerned, there's a model there that describes the data that we can use to validate and other things, and that's being stored and that's being handled. What kind of data it is, what the data is for, is not relevant. So why is the distinction so important, do you think? And even for the POC, do we need to worry about the distinction? That's what I'm asking, really.
I think it has to do again with a little bit with the process, because I do, as you say, if something is really model driven, then the only thing that's really needed, as I was trying to describe, is some sort of handle and some sort of service to this application to be able to pull these models out of a catalog.
Yeah. We need some other starting point. That's clear.
Yeah. And that, hang on.
Go ahead.
The thing is that the way we've talked about introduction of models to ONAP up until now has been this. And I think this is, it's sort of the black and white of this, right? I mean, if you say that this is what we started with, the complex idea where you actually have to analyze the models and see what does the platform want, rather than having, if we had started in this way, if we had started with ONAP and said, well, you know, there's going to be a bunch of models coming into ONAP that ONAP as a platform may or may not be interested in. Let's give a service, let's make available a service to the, you know, whatever application, we don't care, to access a model that's come into the system somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm saying somehow, we know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, we have several options, yep.
But from an application perspective, you don't really know, because all you care about is that there's an interface somewhere to be able to pull up that model.
You might have been the one that provided that specific model. That's another option. But anyway, those are all alternatives.
And this is sort of the point, is that somehow we've missed this because we were very focused on these aspects. What are the models that we need to actually build into the platform? So our whole process is based on this idea of seeing what ONAP needs, whereas we missed the sort of shortcut, which is, well, there's probably things that we can just serve up to anything that's running on ONAP and we don't have to look at. But the assumption here as well is, of course, that there's no specific ONAP use case using this information, because it's just a Yang model. It's generic. ONAP isn't looking at it. If there is information there, which needs to be used by some part of the platform, then we still have to go this way. because yeah. then we're saying, okay, well, we've come, for example, we've agreed that ONAP as a platform should support this kind of model coming from Etsy or 3GPP or whatever. And there are certain capabilities that are expressed in that model that the platform actually does want to look at. And then we have to actually work on this. But in this case, the only thing that's really needed for having this handled to the model is to build in that particular piece. How do we catalog, name, and make accessible a generic, any form of model expressed in Yang, and offer that as a possibility for someone building an application that would run within or on top of ONAP? I think we're probably out of time. I have the feeling that I've been talking for about an hour.
Almost out of time. Okay, so thank you very much, Jacqueline, for this presentation. And
next steps.
So let me return back to our talk here. All right, so I put a link to the to Jacqueline, what she was talking about here under the POC stuff. All right, so next week, I think we didn't get a chance to talk about this, which is actually quite related to what I was doing. It's actually somewhat related to what Jacqueline was presenting, and we'll start off with that. And this is a usage of CMPS, which I think is good for the team to understand, because we're starting to talk about it in other groups. It was discussed on the use case realization call. It was discussed on the modeling subcommittee. So Jacqueline and I are kind of approaching a similar problem from two different perspectives, actually. So, also, just so you know, August 17th, there is a architecture subcommittee presentation August 18th. August 17th, on Monday, will be the requirements subcommittee, Ala's call, Ala Goldner's call, CMPS requirements R8 Honolulu presentation will be given, and I encourage you to attend that. That is at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 2 p.m. UTC time. So you can translate that to your time zone. That we're presenting, basically, we had looked at that. We went over those slides not too long ago, so hopefully you've seen those. Okay, all right, so we're at time, guys. Thank you very much for attending.
Hey, Ben, what are the next step on Jacqueline's work?
So I think we probably need maybe a follow-up discussion with this. So it sounds like we didn't quite finish. But I think once you see my presentations on this, you'll see how it's somewhat related to this as well. So
It might help us to give a bit of context.
Use cases are going to help, but make sure that Jacqueline is in agreement on the definition of the application, because it sounded like on one camp it was user, another camp it could be service provider and user, right? So let's just, I don't care what it is, as long as we agree.
Right. Okay. And also, I think Tony will want to, Tony, Toyn, et cetera, will probably want to continue the architecture points, issues, and decisions if we have time next week. Okay, great. All right.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thanks, everybody. Very, very good presentation.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Okay, great. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Bye.